You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, originating in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. It is indeed a privilege to be a servant of the Most High God, and we do desire to do our very best for you. We know that we need the Holy Spirit's help as we endeavor to speak to this precious people, present them the gospel, and we're praying that the Holy Spirit will not only bless and help us, but may he speak to hearts in our congregation today. We know that you see each one. We know that you love each one. And we know that you know their burdens and their cares. So minister to our precious congregation today through this broadcast service. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you. We trust that it is being a blessing to you. And as we have said many times, if it is, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd let us know. And at the close of our broadcast today, we will be giving you our mailing address, and we do invite you to write us and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast.
Thank you.
Our subject for this broadcast, What Does the Holy Spirit Do Today? And our text of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There are those who deny that the Holy Spirit is a person and a member of the Godhead. Some would have us just to believe that the Holy Spirit is a title for Jesus. Others would say the Holy Spirit is just the power of God. But the Holy Spirit has always been active. It was He who moved upon the face of the waters during the original creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The Spirit was involved in creating man. Let us make man in our own image. Genesis 1 and 26. The Holy Spirit moved upon holy men of old to write the Scriptures. And we have them today because of the Holy Spirit's inspiration and leadership. But what does the Holy Spirit do today? This is the thought that I'd like for you to consider with me on this broadcast service. The Spirit convicts. We read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, where God said that His Spirit would not always strive with man. The setting of this verse of Scripture was in the time of Noah, whenever the world was filled with wickedness, and God was determined to destroy the earth or the peoples on the earth. But He saw a righteous man by the name of Noah, and He instructed him to build an ark for the saving of his family. Now, the Scriptures also tell us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he was not just a builder, but he was also a preacher. And he warned the people of what was coming upon the earth. And the Spirit of God was there with him, witnessing to what he was preaching and teaching. But the people rejected his message. And so God said in Genesis 6 and 3, My Spirit will not always strive with man. After the ark was completed and Noah had gone in, after the animals had been put in and then his family and went in, they were there for 7 days. And on the seventh day, God sent the beginning of the flood. Now, the people, before the door was shut, and Noah didn't shut the door. Remember, God shut him in. Before that, the people had an opportunity to go in the ark if they would have believed. And I would assume that if enough people had believed Noah's message, God would have never destroyed the earth with a flood. But they rejected the message. They rejected the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. And it is possible for people today to reject the pleadings of the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit leaves them, never to speak to them again. Jesus said, whenever He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove, or in other words, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16 and 8. So, the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of his lost and undone condition, and He endeavors to draw him to that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And without conviction, there will be no salvation. For it is the convicting power of God that brings a person to the place where they can truly have godly sorrow. And it is godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And so what does the Holy Spirit do today? He is still in the world convicting the lost of their need of salvation, of their need of turning to Christ and being saved. The Holy Spirit is involved in the new birth. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus wondered how he could enter his mother's womb again and be born. And Jesus told him, in effect, Nicodemus, I am not talking about a physical birth. I am talking about a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And whenever Jesus said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And our spirit, our soul, must be born of the Spirit for us to become a child of God. So the Holy Spirit is involved in the new birth. And without this new birth, you are not a Christian. You are not in the family of God. You're not in the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit is involved in our being born again, born of the Spirit. The Spirit also sanctifies. I realize there are many in the religious world today who deny the experience of sanctification, and the Bible clearly teaches that it is a definite experience, and it is an experience separate and apart from justification or regeneration. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So Peter says, sanctification is through the work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples have the Spirit of God with them. Jesus told them, you know him because he is with you. But the time is coming when he will be in you. And when we receive the Holy Spirit in sanctification, he not only eradicates that depravity, but he takes up his abode in us. And then we are able, through his grace and power, to have greater victory in our Christian living. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as a sanctified person, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So the Spirit sanctifies, and he does a marvelous work. And Jesus also said he would give us power that we could be witnesses unto him, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter was called and led by God to go to Caesarea to Cornelius' house. Now Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a centurion, but he feared God, and he was a righteous man, and he needed more teaching in regard to the things of God. Cornelius was not ignorant concerning Christ. Peter said to him, after he got to his house and began to speak to him about the things of God, that he had been familiar with these things concerning Christ from almost the beginning. So Cornelius was not ignorant of Christ nor of his gospel, but he needed to be taught more perfectly. And while Peter was instructing him, the Spirit of God fell upon Cornelius and those there in his household. When Peter returned to Jerusalem, he was called on the carpet, as it were, about his going into that Gentile's house. They weren't supposed to do that, supposedly. But they didn't realize and know that when Christ died on the cross, he broke down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile and made no difference between them. Peter, in his response to those who questioned him at Jerusalem, said, as recorded in Acts 15 and 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, talking of the Gentiles there at Caesarea, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So Peter not only declares that God made no distinction between the Gentiles and the Jews as far as giving them the Holy Spirit, but Peter also declared that they were purified, their hearts were purified in the working or in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that verse again. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, the Gentiles at Caesarea, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, talking about on the day of Pentecost, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 15 and 8 and 9. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Jesus told the disciples that he must go away, and their hearts were made sad. And he told them that they should not be sad, because it was expedient for them that he go away. For if he did not go away, the Comforter would not come. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is a Comforter. And beloved, how often we as Christians are going through difficult places, times of testing, times of sadness, times of sorrow, and the Holy Spirit comes and comforts our heart. It is marvelous how the Spirit of God can lift burdens, and he can remove sorrow, and he can fill our hearts with joy. So the work of the Holy Spirit in part is to comfort the Christians as they journey through this life, meeting the trials and tests of life. After Paul was converted, we read, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Saul was a persecutor of the church. He said he persecuted it and wasted it. And he healed men and women, drug them out of their homes, testified against them. He was there whenever they stoned Stephen. But after Paul was converted and became a disciple of Christ, then the churches there in Judea and Samaria and surrounding areas, they had peace and they were comforted through the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied and increased. So the Holy Spirit was a comforter to the congregations there in Samaria, Galilee, and Judea. The Holy Spirit teaches. Jesus said in John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The disciples, though they were taught by Jesus Christ personally, did not understand all that he was teaching. It was not until the Holy Spirit came and brought back to their remembrance the things that Christ had taught them and revealed them unto them that they understood the things that Christ taught in the fullest sense of the word. And we need to remember that as we read the scriptures, because the scriptures were written after the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit had revealed to them the teachings of Christ. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And the same Holy Spirit is in the church today, teaching people the truth of the gospel. In fact, there is a gift of teaching given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit purifies, as we have already referred to the scripture that Peter gave to the disciples there at Jerusalem when he was being questioned. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 22. So the Holy Spirit purifies, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned, without pretense, without hypocrisy, real, true, genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And this is another work of the Holy Spirit. He sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. And I don't have time to go to that on today's broadcast, but if you will read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, you'll see how many different gifts the Apostle Paul mentions there, and how many times he says, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. Remember our text? Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and there is one spirit. All true spiritual gifts are in the body of Christ, and they are given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not give spiritual gifts to sinners. The Spirit of God gives gifts to those who are members of the body of Christ, and God places the members in the body as it pleaseth Him, and He qualifies people to fill a given office in the body of Christ by the spiritual gifts. A pastor is one who has been given the gift of pastoring. Now, a person can have the gift of preaching without having the gift of pastoring. There's a difference in many respects in regard to a preacher who preaches a message from time to time and a pastor who not only preaches to feed the souls of the saints, but he also counsels and governs and guides and leads. So the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. And these gifts are given by one and the same Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit works to maintain unity among Christians. Again, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that's Ephesians 4 and 3. And we drop down to verse 13, and we find that the Spirit of God encourages us to keep the unity of the Spirit, that He might bring us into the unity of the faith. Yes, there are two unities taught in this fourth chapter of Ephesians. The first is the unity of the Spirit, and the second is the unity of the faith. And we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, otherwise the Spirit will never be able to bring us into the unity of the faith. So the unity of the Spirit is first, and everyone who has the Spirit of God should have the unity of the Spirit and endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can bring us into the unity of the faith. And the faith that is mentioned here is talking about the doctrines, the teachings of Christ, not just having faith in God. Faith here is talking about the same thing that the Apostle Jude spoke of when he said we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So the Holy Spirit works in and through the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit leads the children of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. The Holy Spirit can also be grieved, and He can be blasphemed. And when that happens, there is no salvation for that precious person. So we need to be careful what we say and what attitude we show toward the Holy Spirit, for He can be grieved and He can be blasphemed. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, and you can also join us in our Sunday services beginning at 20 minutes before 11 Eastern Time in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening. And you can get our broadcast services live over the Internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than have is o'er lands, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. This world.